We celebrated a lovely wedding here yesterday. Laura Grease and Tyler Eitenbrook, who usually sit in the far back row, were married. Because both of them already have a child, toward the end of the service, we offered a family blessing, which included the prayer, "May what unites you always be stronger than what divides you." May what unites you always be stronger than what divides you. The general minister of the United Church of Christ, John Dorhauer, the head of our denomination, wrote a pastoral letter on Wednesday called "To a United Church in a Divided Country." Dorhauer is bright enough to know that our churches are anything but united. Friends, there are people who voted on both sides of the aisle in our congregation, maybe even sharing a pew with you. And lest we ignite a civil war right here, as much as we might be pained to admit, the people who voted differently than you did are not wholly evil. They did not want the destruction of society. They are not the Antichrist, as much as we might want to paint them as such. They aren't. And yet, division is our narrative right now. Facebook reports an unprecedented avalanche of unfriending this week. The extremes of gloating and grieving have rubbed people raw. Hate crimes have spiked this week. I've heard of school buses right here in the Green Bay area on which children have chanted, "Build that wall," at their Latino classmates. We've all seen the news reports of women having their hijabs torn off and LGBTQ people being beaten. Division is real. Fear is real. The grief is real. But we are the United Church of Christ in the United States of America. And so, despite our divisions, I'd like you to join me in saying, and thank you for warming the crowd up with raising their hands and getting everyone to say, "I will." That was wonderful. I'd like you to join with me in saying, "I'm with him. I'm with him." Stole the show, Sue. We need to unite. We need to come together. So what if I tell you that the hymn in my notes has a capital H? Makes a little difference. Friends, if we are going to see a way forward, if we are going to live up to being united, if we are going to have any hope at all, if we'll be because we are with him, with Jesus. It will be because we have committed ourselves to following Jesus, incarnating God's love and compassion and healing and hope. It will be because no matter who you voted for, you are committed to being the hands and feet and heart and voice of Jesus Christ in the lives that you encounter. Maybe it would be important to stop here and remind ourselves what it means to follow Jesus, what his priorities were, and therefore what ours need to be. At the core of Jesus' ministry is the dignity of every single person. Time and time and time again in the Gospels, we hear stories of people who are on the outside, on the margins, the vulnerable, those whose society either ostracized or vilified, being lifted up and embraced by Jesus. Foreigners, women, those with disabilities, constantly, these are the people who take center stage in Jesus' story. Inclusion and healing and dignity and respect are his calling cards. They are his rallying cries. And so, as your pastor, I am giving you a charge today to be with him. And I'm going to offer three ideas, three ways that we can do that. The first is through advocacy. Last week at the Joshua banquet, during the call to action, I challenged everyone who was gathered there to program our representatives' phone numbers into their cell phones. So I'm challenging you to do this too. Go home, look up our senators' numbers, look up the number at the White House, and program them in to your phone. Program in the mayor's number and your county supervisor's number, and then commit yourself to being with him, being with Jesus, and advocating on behalf of the poor and the vulnerable, the least and the lonely and the lost. When you hear proposals of policies that are going to disenfranchise, proposals that will benefit the greedy at the expense of the needy, show that you are with him, with Jesus, by calling your civil servants and advocating. On Tuesday, before the election results were in, our common ministry voted to encourage the congregation to study becoming an immigrant welcoming community. This recommendation came via one of the strategy groups which formed after our visioning process last year. One of the strategies that we adopted was to discern one new area of advocacy for our congregation. After careful thought and deep deliberation, the advocacy team recommended that we join with congregations across the Wisconsin Conference and the United Church of Christ in learning about the issues around immigration and then discerning how it is that we as a congregation are called to act. Advocacy is the first way that I am charging this congregation to be with him. The second is promising our protection. Our gay and trans members are scared. Our women are scared. Our people of color are scared. Survivors of assault are scared. The second way that I encourage you to commit to being with him, being with Jesus, is to promise your protection. When you see someone harassing a Muslim, I need you to promise to stop and lend your support. When you hear bullying and maligning, show that you are with him by speaking up. When you hear that someone has been abused, believe with them. Believe them and walk with them to get help. Promise our children that if someone is coming for their parents, they're going to have to go through you first. The third way that I challenge you to commit to being with him is through active listening. Now, this may sound like a strange third piece, but in today's gospel, the verses that have been washing over me all week are Luke 21:14 through 15, where we read, So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. I'm not sure if it's always been human nature, but so often in the midst of division and disagreement, instead of listening to one another, instead of trying to understand the other person's perspective, instead of working to find common ground, we spend our time formulating our retort, digging in our heels, reinforcing our own perspective. Alternatively, the gospel charges us not to prepare our defense in advance. Don't sit there half listening to someone as you are figuring out how it is that you can retort. This doesn't mean don't be prepared. It means be present to the people in front of you. This means listen. Treat your foes with dignity and respect. Treat the people you disagree with the way Jesus treated sinners and tax collectors. He sat down with them. He learned what was going on in their hearts, and then he broke bread with them. The last example today of how we can demonstrate that we are with him, active listening, does not mean don't be prepared. It means steep yourself so deeply in who Jesus was and what he was about and what his priorities were, that when you are faced with opposition and divisiveness, who he was and what he was about will be second nature to you. You won't have to be planning your argument or plotting your strategy, because Jesus' ways will simply flow through you, flow in and out of you, just like your very breath. He will be your voice. He will use your voice. Friends, I don't have to tell you that we are at a deeply divided place in our community right now. And we are the United Church of Christ in the United States of America. We have something important to offer our nation and our world. By committing ourselves to being with him through advocacy and protection and active listening, we will live up to our church's clarion call to be united and uniting. My prayer today, as we look to move forward as a nation, is that all of us gathered here will commit ourselves to being with him. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.